And shout out to All in One Sports. Great podcast. Check them out. Thanks. Paul Bissonnette here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky O. We are back. Second edition here on a Friday night. Get you ready for the weekend. I hope everybody's having a great week. Game 3, Stanley Cup Final in the books. It is 2-1 Vegas after the Florida Panthers get back in the series. Carter Verhaeghe, the overtime. Verhaeghe.
The Verhaeghesaurus with his fourth overtime goal of his career. Four.
Yo, Mr. Overtime for him. I think, yo, he was a capital killer last year. And not to mention, he's done it again already this year, knocking out the Boston Bruins in the first round.
It's amazing how some people just rise to the top, Jim. As a hockey fan, a guy who's much older than you, seeing the superstars and then seeing the guys who are fake superstars, guys like Panarin, who disappeared in the playoffs, right? Seeing guys like Bergevin, who disappeared in the first round for Boston, right? And then you see a guy that you don't hear so much all year round, and then the playoffs come, and this is his season. And he's a perfect example of what an overtime hero is to an organization. And just a beautiful shot. I mean, he just sniped it.
Yeah, it was a great shot. The hockey gods were with him. Bobrovsky was great in this game. Turned back the clock. Florida looked good. Vegas looked good, too. They were a little slow, but they had the lead.
Great first period by Florida. I think Florida let the game get away from them after the first period. But the stupidity, if you watch the TBS broadcast again, it's just dead on. Gretzky, even Biz, all of those guys said it. The two stupid penalties turned what should have been a Florida dominant game into a hockey game. You know, they were so dominant the first 14 minutes of that period and then let themselves get a little out of control.
I agree with that. I mean, I agree with everything those guys said. I mean, look at it. Carrier's taking a second penalty boarding. That's all right. They're going to call it fine, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. But then Gudas goes cross checks him. That's dumb. And then Duclair sticks out his. I mean, that's just a dumb penalty. You can't take that, especially 4-on-4. Lundqvist even said it. It's 4-on-4. Now you got even more ice with a 4-on-3. Marchessault, Stone, 1-1. And that kind of changed the game. And then again, Barkov, offensive zone penalty. Changes the game. Marchessault, 13 goals, 13 games, 11 in his last 10. It's 2-1, and now Vegas is rolling. Bobrovsky's keeping him in this game for Florida. This should have been 5-1 after two periods of play, and it's not, and because of Bobrovsky.
How about you and I the other night talking about two things? Marchessault, just a superstar hero, unbelievable goal scorer. Three organizations gave up on this kid before he goes to Vegas, and he's just rising to the top. And we also said this, Jimmy, and we ended the show with this. It's not over until a road team wins a game. And Las Vegas failed to hold the lead, which could have been – listen, they win last night. The Stanley Cup goes to Vegas. That town's partying all weekend long into game 4. Florida's done. There's no coming back 3-0 in a Stanley Cup final. And they let the game get away.
They did. I mean, look, Vegas was dominating. They only gave up 4 shots through 17 minutes. And then Ivan Barbashev hits the post. And if that puck goes in the net, it's game over. It's not. They have a lot. They're alive. And then Tkachuk finds the middle of the ice and ties the game. Look, it's a tap-in goal. After the hit...
Now, let me ask you a question. I know where you're going with this, but let me ask you a question. Do you think he's injured, or do you think the NHL protocol for concussions kept him out for what kept him out? I'm interested in hearing, because nobody brought up concussion protocol during the broadcast. So I was just kind of interested in what you think on how was he able to get back into the game, or was he just held out of the game for the maximum amount of time to make sure his brain wasn't scrambled?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, somebody brought this up in the locker room today. Was it concussion protocol? Was there a concussion spotter that took him out of the game? Possibly. That's a fair question. It didn't look like he hit his head. It was looked like more shoulder. But, you know, it's a great point by you. I wonder if we've come to find out later after this is over that if somebody brings it up, somebody said, oh, he has a concussion or not. But he didn't. Even with the goal, he didn't look right. Even coming back into the game, he did not look right.
He didn't get a lot of ice time off either, Jim. He didn't get his regular extra shifts, extended shifts. He was not the same player for the rest of the game.
No, he was not. I mean, Kolasar, it's a great hockey hit. Open ice. I mean, it's like the Tkachuk hit on Eichel in game two. It's a great hit. It's a hockey hit. That's what you want. And look, those are the things that happened in Stanley Cup Finals. We saw it with Barbashev on Gudas. So that's what it is. I mean, look.
Skate through the neutral zone with your head down. You're going to get hit, right?
That's what exactly. That's it. I mean, look, how many times Scott Stevens do that to guys?
Absolutely. Hey, Trouba this year, last year, he's killed five guys, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, you don't – I think that's the number one rule. You don't skate through the neutral zone with your head down and you get hit. Look, it's a good, clean hit, good hockey hit by Kolasar. They set the tone. Again, you go back to the final 4 minutes of the game, and in overtime, there was a little lapse. Florida was able to find the middle of the ice. Vegas took away the middle of the ice a lot, and then they were able to capitalize. If Florida wants to get back in the series, they cannot continue to keep taking undisciplined penalties. I'm sorry, they just can't.
No. It should have been the downfall. Vegas banks one more power play goal. The cup is in Vegas after tomorrow night's game. Plain and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad the hockey gods were on the Panther side, because the penalty on Stevenson with 11.3 seconds left was horrible. It was horrible. Awful. Horrible. Awful.
If you're not going to call Tkachuk getting speared and slashed in the crease 2 games ago, how do you call a ticky-tack trip penalty with 11 seconds left to go in a game? But that's the difference in the NHL.
But that's not even – like, it's not even a trip. He tripped himself. Like,
He toe-picked.
Yeah, but those offensive guys, you see it all the time. Guys try to jump and make that move into the middle and try to get a shot off. He tried to jump, clipped his skates, and went down. Like, that's pretty much what happened, and they called the trip. And unfortunately, you know, luckily it didn't end up in the back of the net, because Florida was aggressive on the penalty kill. Bobrovsky was there too, and then they end up scoring for Hagee. So we got a series now, and look, it's either going to be 2-2 or it's going to be 3-1. And I can imagine Vegas is going to come out hard in the first 10 minutes of that game on Saturday, because their start was not great. And if I know Bruce Cassidy, the way he's coached this team through these playoffs, when they don't have a great performance, they usually come back with a really, really good performance.
All right, I'm going to take the opposite approach here, and I'm going to tell you this. I think Florida figured some stuff out. They weathered the storm. I think it's a 5-2 Florida Panther win next game, and we go 2-2 and make this an absolute 7-game series.
I would want nothing more than that. Look, I just seen what I've seen with Vegas, and look, maybe they did figure out Aiden Hill. The one thing I will say, because I'm going to add to your point, the one downfall for Vegas has been, look at their past history in the playoffs. When they run into it, when a goalie starts to get hot, oh boy, it gets in their head, and it gets in their head quickly.
The Bob isn't hot. The Bob is on fire.
Yeah, he's on fire right now, and he played great. Again, look, the turning point of the game was the shot off the post. And like I said, if that goes in, it's game over, series over.
Listen,
and
you know what I liked about it, Jimmy? You're still actively playing hockey, and you know you're very into the game still. The Bob last night, I've never seen a goaltender going back to Bill. I've watched everybody from Ken Dryden to Billy Smith to Mike Richter, Henrik Lundqvist, all of these great goalies in my lifetime on a regular basis. I never saw a guy like last night make every save look so easy. Point blank glove saves, literally, it looked like he was.
Wasn't even trying.
It was just insane.
Yeah, insane. I mean, the harkens back maybe to 86 with Patrick Waugh and the Canadians in that run.
Bringing that up. Thanks. Sorry, that's all. You know, you're a prick.
You just
have to bring up the Rangers losing all the time. Thanks.
Hey, you know what?
Look. That should have been our cup before 94, just so you know that, okay? That should have been our cup. That was the best team we had before 94. And we ran into a guy who they didn't even know how to say his name. They were calling him Roy, Ruah, Ra. They didn't know even who he was at the time. He just came up, kept stretching his neck like this, and he just came in, Claude Lemieux, beat the shit out of James Patrick, and the next thing I know, the Rangers are eliminated.
Thanks, Jim. I have fucking nightmares now all night.
Sorry, Rick. Sorry. You were just saying great goaltender performances, so I figured I'd throw Patrick Waugh in there.
You know, Patrick Waugh's amazing. I mean, Brodeur and Waugh, they're two standards in the history of the game, period. But if you notice, the trend in the last 10 years is you don't need that goaltender to be that superstar to win a cup. You know, you need the guy who is hot in May and June, and you'll win the cup. And right now, both these guys are hot in May and June.
So we got a comment here. First comment, new show. Here we go. Agrees with Ricky. Bobrovsky showed last night. I see a series being tied 2-2, and now we have a series. Love it, Rob. Love it.
Thanks, Rob.
It's a great, great comment, great point. Look, we've seen it. We saw Cam Ward, 2006. Look, J.S. Chiguer, I can be unbiased as much as I want, try to be a credible journalist. I'm still bitter about 2003 and the Conn Smythe Trophy going to a losing player on a losing team because of what Martin Brodeur did that year in the playoffs. 7 shutouts, 3 shutouts in the Stanley Cup final. Again, did your Garrett had a great run?
What did Marty do in that playoff? What did he do?
7 shutouts, 3 shutouts in the final.
And his sister-in-law.
Yeah, well, that besides that, thanks. Thanks. I knew that shot was coming in. I knew that was coming in.
You know my Marty Brodeur story, right?
Yeah, you've told it a million times.
You heard the Marty
times.
Brodeur story with Bam Bam Bigelow and Chris Candido, right?
I don't know if I heard that one.
I should have let Bam Bam kill him.
Oh, okay.
We're at Fridays on Route 17 in Hasbrook Heights, and I'm with Bam Bam Bigelow and Chris Candido, God rest both their souls, and I'm wearing a Mike Richter Stanley Cup champion hat, and I'm wearing it backwards.
Hopefully we didn't lose them because this is going to be a really good story. Hopefully we didn't because that would be amazing.
He said a couple things, and then finally Bam Bam Bigelow says, just looks right at him and goes, say one more word and I'll break your fucking leg in half. And I'm like, Bam Bam, nah, it's cool. It's just, you know, it's not worth getting aggravated with. And Brodeur was just being a smug little prick. And Candido just whispered something in his ear like, bro, you don't know how close you are to dying. If I was you, I'd get up and leave. And Brodeur paid his check and the three of them got up and left without even getting their food. And I just always remember Bam Bam Bigelow could have killed Martin Brodeur.
Wow, great story. Great, great story. Well, speaking of the Devils made a trade today. They traded Damon Severson to Columbus, part of a sign-and-trade, second in NHL history. Severson gets 8 years, $6.25 million. Columbus had already added Ivan Provorov earlier in the week, 3-team trade that saw Sean Walker and Cal Peterson go to Philadelphia, picks, prospects as well. And then the Kings re-signed Vladislav Gavrikov. So the Devils, they were never bringing Severson back. He was going to be an unrestricted free agent. They wanted to go short term. He wanted a little bit longer term, but the money was just going to be too high. They weren't going to pay that considering Luke Hughes, Simone Nemec in the system.
Do you think that contract's a little high? I think it's a lot of money for him.
I think that was the market value for him, to be honest. I think maybe 5.5 would have been better. But again, look, he's a right-handed shot defenseman. He can move the puck. Yes, he has a glaring mistake a lot, but his underlying numbers are really good. And again, like, I'm not too much of an analytics guy. I'm more of a C guy, like eyes first guy. Like, you know, I'll watch that. I still think he was a good defenseman. I think the Devils fans just give him a raw deal for the mistakes because that's what they remember him for. But I think he was a really good defenseman for this team. And I also thought that he was one of their better defensemen in the playoffs this year because a lot of guys didn't show up.
I thought he had a great series against the Rangers. I think he's a very solid defenseman. I think he puts up good points. I think as a right-handed defenseman, it's worth an extra $500,000 to $750,000 on a contract.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little high, but that's my opinion. We'll see what happens with that trade. But here's where I'm going with that trade. I 100% think that's the first domino in the Devils' offseason. I think the Devils are clearing cap space. I think you're going to see UC Soros and Duchesne from Nashville somehow or another end up as the Devils. Devils are going to have to absorb Duchesne's contract because the Preds will not make a deal without unloading that contract. And I think the Devils have the depth, the number one ranked prospect pool. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I think Foot is going to be part of that deal. I'm not sure if we're going to go. It's got to be a top five Devil forward. I'm going to let you think out loud and tell me who.
I think I already know who it is. I think it's Jesper Bratt if it's part of the deal because of the negotiations and what's going on right now. If Duchesne's coming back, again, it all depends. Again, if the Devils want to make that deal, because also that contract's pretty high too. And for his production value of what he's been in Nashville, I'm not sure New Jersey takes it on. If it's Soros and something else, I can see the Devils making a move for a goaltender. They definitely need one. I don't doubt it's going to be Soros. They definitely need a number one. It's not Vanacek. And it's Schmidt's going to be the 1B because he's proven he can. And Blackwood's out of the system, out of the organization too. So
I think Soros is going to three teams, Los Angeles, New Jersey, or Edmonton. Those are my three choices.
I mean, I would not be shocked because LA needs goaltending. They only have a goalie signed. Phoenix Copley's their only goalie. They're probably not going to keep Jonas Korpisalo. So
there was a rumor here in Nashville this week, Jimmy, that the deal was in place for Soros to be a King, and it was pulled off the table last minute when the Preds got hot and had a shot to make the playoffs in the last week of the season.
I don't know. I kind of still would have made that deal.
I am personally, I like Soros. I'm a Nashville guy right now living down here. I see the team on a regular basis. They are not a Stanley Cup contender. His window is 3 years, just like every other goaltender that size. When you're a little goalie, you've got a five-year window. Get what you can for him now. Just rape somebody right now. Go out and say, you want him? This is what we want. Give it to me. And put all three offers on the table and just send them to the best one, you know?
Exactly. No, I hear you for sure. I think New Jersey, it's a smart play by the Devils. Again, you know, they have to deal with their own restricted free agents with Timo Meier, Jesper Bratt. Let's see where they come in. I know Fitzgerald wants his salary hierarchy. That's what we're seeing in Montreal. So that's going to be very, very contentious. I think both contracts are going to be a grind. I definitely agree with you. I think they need a number one. I would not be a problem with UC Soros. I mean, potential Carter Hart could go to New Jersey, too. He's
on
the move.
What is up with that? Tell me what's the deal with Carter Hart, Jimmy. Why are they looking to deal this kid? He's 24 years old. He's a good hockey player. I don't think the Flyers have better in the system right now. What's the deal? Is it a Tortorella move already, or what's up with this?
I think it might be a Tortorella move, to be honest. I think, or they're just trying to get rid of old regime players. And I you found a goaltender, but their prospect isn't ready. The kid that was up this year was not ready. Is not ready for the spotlight. You have a nope. Great goalie. The defense in front. I know the goaltenders take the blame when the defense stinks. The defense stunk in Philadelphia. But Carter Hart played a lot better than he played last year. Maybe a change of scenery will do him some good. You know, a lot of teams are looking at him, but I don't get it, man. You have a goaltender for the first time since Ron Hextall, and you want to get rid of him. And you had Bobrovsky there too, and you got rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what is going on in Philadelphia right now? Like, I don't know. It reeks of torts, but here's something else that happened in Philadelphia last night. Right? I'm sorry, guys. If you don't notice, I'm driving home and I'm trying to do this show without killing anybody or myself. Keith Jones is the new president of the Flyers, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Did you hear his comment on the penalty last night with 11 seconds to go where he publicly said the NHL officiating has been very suspect in the playoffs this year and not consistent? That is a great way to get that last shot in before you become an executive in this league. It's amazing to me that the NHL is allowing him to continue to broadcast. But that's funny. I don't know if anybody noticed he got that shot in last night.
Oh, I heard it. I heard it. And I think everybody agrees that it's been suspect and very questionable this whole playoffs. And yeah, I agree. It's kind of weird, but I think he had to honor his TNT contract before this move was made. So I think I love it too, because you get an executive, and apparently he's been talking to Danny Briere like every day. So he's doing his job, and you know, Jonesy's one of the best in the business, and you know,
great guy too. Great guy.
Was such an awesome dude. Yeah, was such a great dude. Met him a few times. He's a great individual, and he just knows the game, and he'll be fine in Philadelphia. But the Philadelphia Flyers like to get rid of goaltenders. The Rangers like to stockpile goaltenders.
Yeah. I mean, Rangers, if you go back, this started with Eddie Jockeman and Gilles Villamore splitting a Vezina trophy. Then you go down history, it's John Van Beesbrook and Bob Froese. Then it's Mike Richter and John Van Beesbrook. Then it's Glenn Healy and Mike Richter. And then you go right into Henrik Lundqvist. The Rangers have always had a richest goaltending organization, one of the top five, I would say, ever in the NHL. Problem is, they horrible first-round draft choices.
Yeah.
How many busts in the Rangers had they had? Pavel Brendo, Christian Dubé, Hugh Jessamine. Every freaking first-round pick this fucking team makes is a bust.
Yeah.
What's the kid from Sweden that threw his medal into the fucking crowd?
Oh, Elias Anderson.
Anderson falls down opening night, trips over a freaking cable wire at Madison Square Garden. You knew the kid's career was done. Like, it's just horrible drafting. It's just, man, I'm just frustrated tonight. I'm telling you right now, I'm hoping it's, you know, listen, I don't agree with what happened with Quenneville. I want to get that out of the way really fast. You know, if you hide somebody being sexually abused or molested or even just bullied, you know, you're pretty much a coward and guilty yourself. But we're talking, the NFL lets murderers play. Okay? So if this guy did his punishment, he sat out his year, 2 years, whatever it's been, and now he's reinstated, then I want him. If he's allowed to play, here's the problem with sports and as a fan. I don't care what the guy fucking did. If he's allowed to play, allowed to coach, and he's the best, then I want that guy on my team.
Right.
And I want Quenneville to bring his experience here. I want him to get Panarin on ADD medicine, and I want to win a cup. That's my opinion. It might be wrong, but that leads me into a segue now. We're going to go baseball. As a Met fan, Jimmy, you're a Yankee fan, right?
Yes. I'm upset with the Yankees, but I'm upset with the Yankees too, because let me tell you something. Before you get into the Mets, Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman should have been fired years ago, because this satisfied with just getting into playoffs and not winning championships as a Yankee fan, it pisses me off, because the standard was set by those teams in the 90s. It's championship, and by George Steinbrenner, who's in his grave right now, you know, rest his soul, he's rolling over, because it's championship or bust. It's not good enough just to get into playoffs.
I love George Steinbrenner. I wish he was still alive.
Yeah, I mean, Steinbrenner's great. No, he wouldn't. Cashman would have been gone, and so would have been Boone. And you wouldn't settle for this crap. But as you said, the Mets. Oh, boy.
Nice. My God. Listen, this guy Cohen's going to sell the team. I mean, he might just pull over to 7-Eleven and trade a guy for like 4 7-Elevens and say, here, you take over the Mets. This is bullshit. You got UPS fucking drivers pitching in relief over here. They bring this guy Smith in. I shut my fucking TV off. I mean, damn. What was it? 10 fucking 3. Now I'm really hyped up. 10 fucking 3 lead against the number one fucking team that smacked us and stuck it up our ass for the last 20 fucking years. I'm watching the fucking game on my phone just, and all of a sudden it's 10-6, 10-7, 10-9, 10-10. Game over. Go fuck yourself, man. Really. I'm so sick of this shit as a Met fan. I'm not a Yankee hater, Jimmy. I'm not at all. Okay? I just love the Mets. They were like, my dad took me to my first game. It was a Met game. I watched Dave Kingman hit home runs as a little kid 7,000 feet in the air. And I love John Stearns. That's why I'm a Met fan. I'm not a Yankee hater. I respect the shit out of Derek Jeter, Posada, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill. But those guys were proven fucking winners. Okay? What's his name? Our fucking Alonzo. He gets drilled. Broken wrist. He's out 4 fucking years now. He's not going to come back till he's 36 years old, because the Mets doctors, they tell you he's got a fucking hangnail and they amputate his fucking dick. But where's the revenge? Where's the revenge the next game? Who got hit on Atlanta? Nobody. Last year, he led the major leagues. He had to come out and say in the paper, if you hit me again, I'm going to be violent. He had to take it into his own hands. Listen, I played professional baseball, very low-level developmental in the late 80s, early 90s. I played the United States national team. I remember being 16 fucking years old, and a guy threw at one of our teammates, and his next at bat, I spit in his face and punched him in the fucking mouth at 16 because you defend your fucking teammates. Baseball is intimidation. You have a guy throwing a ball 90 to 100 miles an hour at your fucking teammate, and you do nothing. And that's why I hate Mike Piazza, you fucking pussy. You let Clemens pick up a bat and throw it at you, and you just stood there. And if you remember, I don't remember the Mets pitcher off the top of my head because I'm in a rant right now, but he was a lefty, and they had every opportunity Clemens was hitting the next game. He threw the ball 11 feet behind him. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. That. Close to him. No, he never hit him. He never came close. Meanwhile, you go back because the Yankees. I bring this up, Yankees, Red Sox, right now. But you go back to the 03, 04. I mean, guys are. When Manny Ramirez got thrown at his head, or
Zimmer came out to fight, bro.
Yeah, everybody's just fighting. The brawls and everything between these two teams are. I mean, legendary. I mean, that's what you do. You defend your teammates. That's what you have to do. That's why hockey's so good. A star player gets hit, these guys go after him. And then in baseball. But, I mean, you were telling me, Buck Showalter doesn't even set the lineup. They're relying on analytics. Come on. This baseball ruins – analytics has ruined baseball. Because
it's ruined all sports.
That's true. It has.
Vogelback. I feel like George Costanza's father with Jay Buhner. He's got Jay Buhner for Ken Phelps. Why do we have Vogelback playing on this fucking team? His brother's wrestling in the WWE. What's his name from fucking Heavy Construction, whatever his name is? The fat fuck in the WWE. It looks like his little brother.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Otis.
Otis, yeah.
We got Otis's fucking brother as our DH. He can't run. He can't hit. He's so fucking fat. He can't turn on a fastball no more. He's playing every game. What is up? Why do we have these rookies coming up and tearing up the ball, playing fucking great, and we got a guy like Vogelback in this lineup? We spend $40 fucking trillion on a team, and we have this piece of garbage as our DH who can't hit. He can't run. He can't play the field.
He can't do anything. It's awful. It's awful.
I'm so sick of it. And then, you know, our pitching staff is horrible. Listen, I get it, Diaz. You play for your country. That's a whole other thing. I hated that.
World Baseball Classic sucks.
Listen, it's not just because he got hurt. Listen, what happens if the baseball, you know, what happens if Mike Trout breaks his legs in that and baseball loses that? That's like Aaron Judge. Like, if Aaron Judge is playing, he gets plunked in the head and his career's over. It's not a Yankee game. Every Yankee fan in the world is going to feel gypped, right?
Yep.
You know, play this thing at the end of the season, okay? That way there, God forbid there's a major injury, you have time before next season to either rehab or trade or make a deal. You know, it's like when hockey did the World Cup of Hockey back then, you know, and you had all these fights. You had Brian Leetch playing for Team USA and Messier playing with Graves on Team Canada, and they're running Leetch, and you got fights. You got Kachuk fighting everybody and their mother on that team. And the next day, they're all playing together. What happens? God forbid Messier hits Leetch and breaks his shoulder. The Rangers are fucked.
Yeah.
You know, Brodeur is playing for Team Canada. What happens if at that time, you know,
like Hall or Kachuk or Garin, like, run into him. Garin, they're teammates. Like, he runs
that
his
was,
own
I was
teammate.
Looking for the American. I couldn't remember his name. It was Bill Garin.
Yeah, he runs his own teammate, and he gets hurt. Like, yeah. I mean, look, I know these guys want to play international. I get it. I would like
that
to see
that. That was the greatest hockey series I've ever watched in my life. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, the 96 World Cup of hockey?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Canada,
the
USA
game at Madison
awesome.
Square Garden, I still have goosebumps when they put out that 200-foot American flag and we passed it through the garden. ESPN broadcast.
Sitting there watching
your country play at that level, there's no better feeling in the world, Jim.
That's why I hope they figure out a way to have like some best on best tournament again. Not the world championships like with the WIHF, but I mean real best on best hockey, best players in the world going up against each other, because that's awesome hockey.
Do you remember when the Devils first started, they had that puck mascot?
Yeah, I do.
They got fired for being inappropriate with kids.
Yeah, I heard that story.
You know, like, hockey's just crazy, bro. Like, there's so many inside stories.
It's such a great sport that, you know, it's why I love it so much. And, you know, I love being around it and just still play it, because you get crazy stories like that. You know, I think like the Roberto Luongo back when he played in Vancouver, he had like the bathroom story, like he had to run it back and forth. But
how about Sutter last year? They asked him a question. I forgot who the player was. They were like, what happened to him? He was off the bench for a couple of minutes. He's in the middle of his press conference. He just looks right in the camera and goes, you got to take a shit. You know, like, you don't hear Buck Showalter say stuff like that. You know, you don't.
Well,
Phil Esposito, I'm watching the hockey fight video the other day, right?
Yeah.
And Phil Esposito is doing color commentary for the Tampa Bay Lightning in their first season. And there's a fight. And then they put the guys in the penalty box. And one of the people next to the penalty box is smacking the glass and pointing at his player. And Esposito on camera goes, that's a really fat, ugly woman trying to get in a fight with a hockey player. Somebody should tell that fatso to sit down. And I'm just saying to myself, like, oh, my God. Like, only hockey. Like, Ralph Kiner, Phil Rizzuto would never in a million years have ever thought of saying anything like that. And here's an ex-hockey player who's, you know, just... I can't even imagine how many ex-players in the minors have done games drunk, a color commentary or anything. Hockey's so unique. Now, I had this dream, Jimmy, and I don't know why you were in it, but I know why you were in it.
Oh, boy.
I had this dream two nights ago about Biz Nasty and Gretzky and a WWE twist. Are you ready for it?
All right, I like to hear this one.
Okay, so you know how Gretzky and Biz kind of go at each other all the time?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what happens. I'm in my dream. I'm sound asleep. And Gretzky and Biz start talking, and Gretzky just goes, Paul, I've had enough of this. Tomorrow night on our broadcast, I'm bringing some backup. And Biz is like looking around. They go to a commercial. The show's over. And the next night, Gretzky sits down. And the Stone Cold Steve Austin music hits, and out comes Ryan Reeves, who just sits next to Wayne Gretzky as his, like, personal bodyguard. This is so Memphis 1986 wrestling merged with the NHL right now, and Biz and Reeves just have a stare down and talk. Biz backs off as the chicken shit baby, you know, chicken shit heel. Ryan Reeves is this massive baby face Wayne Gretzky protector, just smiles into the camera and says, welcome to TNT. I'm your new co-host with Wayne Gretzky. And Wayne just sits there and looks at Biz and gives him a nod. And if this ever could happen in real life, like if the TNT broadcast can just go a little step further and start scripting shit like this, or hire me and you to write this for them.
Yeah, we could do it.
They are so on the cusp of being the greatest hockey show ever. I think they're on a Hockey Night in Canada level already because of technology. But if they can incorporate just a little bit more of that NHL fun, what people want to see stuff, it's going to be just amazing. I can't wait for next season.
Yeah, I mean, imagine it. I can see that happening because Revo's only a couple years away probably from retirement.
I think he's done this year. I'll be honest with you. I know he's signed for next year. He got that guaranteed money with Minnesota. I think if he gets cut, he's made for broadcasting.
Oh,
the
my God.
Gigantic. He's got a baby face smile. He can talk.
I mean, if you pitch, I mean, I think if you pitch that to TNT, I think they'd be all over it.
Handle that for me.
What?
Handle that for me.
All right. Okay, that's fine. I'll call TNT because we know AW and Turner and Warner are all together. We can incorporate wrestling and hockey. And it'll be live on television.
Listen, you got your NHL Network show. Just go over there and sell it. You know, do your thing. That's why you're my co-host. Yeah. I talk shit and you make it happen.
Well, that's why we work so well together. And
no, we do. Yeah. We do, Jimmy. And here's the other thing I like. When you stand next to me, we look like the number 10.
I love it. I love it. This is why I love doing this show.
What did you do tonight? Anything good?
I played some hockey tonight.
Where'd you play? What rink?
Yo, House of Pain, Sportorama.
Oh, my God. That, can I tell you a Muncie Sportorama story?
I would love to hear one.
My parents had never seen me play ice hockey before, right?
Yeah.
And I joined this league. They used to call it the Gordie Howe League. It was for, like, men over 30. And it was kind of like a beginner, like, learn to play hockey league. And then the next year, it was, like, a little more advanced. So I'm in my second year. I'm in a little bit more advanced league. And my mom and dad are like, hey, we're going out for dinner tonight. And we're going towards New York. I'm like, why don't you go to Muncie? I got a 10 o'clock game. You could have dinner. And then you guys come watch the game. My mom's like, oh, you're playing hockey? I'm like, yeah, you know. Now, my brother Jimmy, little known fact, my brother Jimmy holds the state record for shutouts in the state of New Jersey. Paramus Catholic, all-time winningest goalie. He's a hockey player. I was a baseball player because there was just nowhere to play when I was a kid. So my parents come to the game. First shift, I score a beautiful goal. I'm lying. I went to the side of the net. Puck hit me in the chest, fell down, banged it into an empty net. I, you know, happy as can be. Mom and dad see me score a goal. I don't care. I'm 30-something years old. Next shift, I park myself in front of the net, and a guy just legitimately pitchforks me in the groin. To the point that he broke my plastic cup in half. And now, I'm not trying to be graphic, but the cup broke and it kind of hit me somewhere, like it pinched me. And I turned around and threw a punch and hit this guy in the face. His teammate charges after me, the gloves are off, in a no contact, over 30 adult learn to play hockey league. And I just rifle this kid. We're both wearing full cages. But I'm able to get his cage off, and I'm just feeding this fucking guy. Bang, bang, bang. I've never had a fight on ice before. I don't know how I even stood up. I'm not a great skater, and I'm fucking 300 pounds at the time. And I'm just feeding this guy. Bang, bang, bang. So they break us up. They put us to the penalty box. And now, you've been to Muncie. The penalty boxes go right outside into the walkway to go to the locker room. So they throw us both out of the game, so I fight him in the walkway. Now we're fighting, our skates are going everywhere, and my mom's yelling, Ricky, knock it off! And my dad's heavy South American African. Romary, be quiet, he's doing his job. So they fucking break us up, and they come out, and they got security and everything, they break us up, and they send us to the locker room. The only problem is, we changed in the same fucking locker room, both teams. So now, naming this guy, we're in our third fight. And this time now, I finally just realized I'm not bragging. I beat this fucking guy three times. I fucking drill this guy. My skates are off. His skates are on. I drill him, and the fuck kicks me with a skate boot.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I have a lump on my shin for 6 months. They realize, both team realizes we're in the same locker room. Both teams come running in, and they break us up in the fucking cops got called. I'm kicked out of the league for life. I'm banned. I can never play again in Muncie. My parents go home. This is before cell phones. They leave. I call my mom the next day. I'm like, Ma, how'd you like the game? My mother goes, I'll never fucking talk to you again. You embarrassed this family for the next 25 years. We can't even ever go to that rink again. My mom did talk to me for like 4 months after that incident. But that's the only time I ever played in Muncie.
Yeah, still, I mean, still a dump.
It's still a dump.
The ice is still bad, but you know, it's fun. Friday night pickup hockey is fun.
It is.
It's fun to be out there with the guys just to do stuff on a Friday night. But I think with that story, I think we're going to end
today. Wait. One more story.
Have
you ever played at McKay Park?
Yes, I have.
So for people that don't know, McKay Park has a roof and then all the walls are open on the side. Three out of the four walls are open. Windscreen. But McKay Park, when I played in the early 90s, was a crack haven, basically. It's in a really poor neighborhood. So we would actually have to jump over broken crack pipes and crack vials to get onto the ice
because they
would break into the rink at night and smoke crack because they were cold, you know, and they were trying to get inside to warm up. So we used to call that crack rink. So that's how, growing up in New Jersey, when you see guys coming out of New Jersey, these guys paid their dues.
Oh, big time. I mean, I think during COVID, I would play there, and like we'd have like super early ice time, and like you didn't have a locker room. My hands, I couldn't get my hands. I have put my stuff on, like, and it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and it is cold in that place.
Yep.
And my hands are just frozen solid, and I'm trying to get them in my gloves. That place, I mean, they had some great roller hockey.
It was like playing in a meat locker.
It really was. It was cold. And you had to park on the one side. You couldn't park on the other side because forget it.
You might get robbed.
Exactly. You definitely might get robbed.
All right. Listen, you're right. Let's end it on this. This is a funny show tonight. We'll be back after the game tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're going to do a late night recap. We'll put it out for everybody to watch on Sunday. But this was fun. I think I just burst. I'm going to go to bed tonight and I'll just yell in Vogelback for the rest of the night. And we're going to watch this series be 2-2 after tomorrow. I'm going to get real serious. The 6-2 Panthers tomorrow is my prediction. I'm going to say it goes, they're going to jump out early. They're going to survive the first 10 minutes of a Vegas swarm. First two goals go to Florida, make it a 2-1 game. Then Florida pulls way ahead and we're going to go back to Vegas 2-2.
Hey, that's a good prediction. I agree. I think Vegas is going to come out early, going to try to end this thing early. First 10 minutes is going to be crucial. If Bobrovsky is like he is, I can see this series going back to Vegas tied at 2-2.
Give me a goal scorer tomorrow. Give me a prediction. Either team, one goal.
Barkov.
Declare.
Hey, you know what? Both guys need to score. Plain and simple. Because guess what? Vegas has 9 different goal scorers in the series. So.
Yep.
We need more from Barkov for me. If this is going to be more tied bark.
We need less bite and more bark from Barkov, baby.
Exactly, exactly. So, folks, this has been All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We're back tonight. We'll be back again tomorrow post-game. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. Going to get this kicking going. And can't wait for our Thursday wrestling show because I know Ricky's got some great stories.
We're going to have a great time, guys. Great. Have a good night. All in One, baby. Let's go. Tomorrow
all
night.
All in One, baby. See you then.